Welcome to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds, featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I am your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations and to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. Maybe you've been listening for a while, or this is your first episode. If you like what you hear, would you do us a favor by rating and reviewing us on iTunes? This is a fantastic way to tell us you enjoy what we are creating. Also, if you want more MTSS resources, sign up for our weekly newsletter using the link in our show notes and check out our website for all the blogs and guides you would ever need about MTSS. One aspect of teaching that will make or break your success is classroom management. And in my early years of teaching, it felt like there was some magic element that maybe I missed initially about teaching and making my classroom a great place to be. But slowly I learned over time. So making your classroom safe and comfortable as a learning environment is something that every teacher needs to learn how to do. And so today we're going to dive into this topic with two experienced educators, Ashley Robertson and Emily Jordan from the Consolidated School District 59 in Illinois. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Well, we're so glad you're here. And first, I'd love for you just to share a little bit about your own experience and how you support the teachers in your district. Let's start with Ashley.
Sure. I'm the Director of Social Emotional Learning and Support. So I oversee a team of people who are really dedicated in supporting the social emotional needs of students in our district. So I oversee 3 climate and SEL coaches, Emily Jordan being one of them, and 4 SEL interventionists. And they are a team that are really interested in supporting our students and our teachers in supporting the wellness of our students. And then I also help support the needs of our families as well and supporting the team of a community outreach specialist.
Awesome. How about you, Emily?
So as Ashley mentioned, I am one of our district's climate and SEL instructional coaches. There are 3 of us. This is my first year in the role after stepping out of the classroom. I've been a teacher in our school district for 18 years in first through fourth grade, and now I'm working with classrooms pre-K through eighth grade. So it's wonderful. I've always had a passion about creating student-centered classrooms that are safe, inviting, and a place where learning is thriving. So it's wonderful to focus in on this area and support teachers and their classrooms.
Awesome. Well, we're so glad that you guys are here today and so excited to learn a little bit more about your district through this conversation as well. So to start us out, when you think of a well-managed classroom, what does it feel like? You know, what's the energy, the flow, the vibe? Like what does that look like to you?
So for me, when I think of a well-managed classroom, really, it is one that promotes student independence. I know I mentioned that in my introduction, but it's a classroom where I can see that students have access to materials that are going to allow them to enable their independent tasks, as well as promote collaboration with other students in the classroom. When I look around the room, I see that expectations, routines, and other information that will be important for children to access is clearly posted and accessible to them. And overall, that the classroom is designed in a way that promotes emotional self-regulation for the children, which I know can be very different depending on the child, but overall an inviting classroom. And the teacher, you know, you feel that they are the thermostat, so to say, of the classroom. If the environment is heating up, then they are focused on trying to cool it down. If the environment is that the children are feeling very tired, the teacher is circulating and helping them to wake up. So that teacher role is very important as well.
I think I'd like to add that a well-managed classroom feels calm and focused and purposeful. Like everyone has a job and they know what they're there to do and what they're collectively working towards, that there's mutual accountability, not just from the teacher, but peer to peer, that the students feel safe to take risks, academic risks, that there is that there's consistency and strong relationships, that students feel it's safe to make mistakes and that they know that they can, you know, rebound from them and that we can move forward collectively as a whole and where learning is important and where they feel like they can thrive. I think a lot of times people think that classrooms need to be quiet and silent. And I often find that, you know, the noise that you hear in classrooms really says a lot about what's happening within the classroom, that we should hear noise from classrooms and that noise should be productive and fun and the students should be engaged in the learning and the interaction should be positive.
Yeah. I love that you both use the word productive, I think, in different ways. And I feel like that's such a key element into classroom management because you want there to be productivity, right? You want action to be happening, learning to happen. And so in order for learning to happen, like there are certain things that have to be in place to make that a productive environment. And you know that there's things that are obstacles to productivity, whether that be chaos, whether that be the students don't know what to do, or whether that be silence where they're all tuned out. And I'm a former middle school teacher. And so I always found that productivity didn't mean silence. Productivity doesn't mean craziness, like everyone moving around, but like purpose. I think Emily or Ashley, you used that word, purpose. And I thought that was really, really important of what you said. So in speaking of what hinders productivity, let's get real. Like there are some big obstacles that teachers face today when it comes to managing the classroom. And so how have you guys seen, you've both been around a while in education. So how have you seen like maybe some of these challenges shift over time?
Yeah, I think post-COVID, one of the shifts that we have seen is an increase in student dysregulation and more kids are struggling with emotional control and some attention-seeking behaviors and really just a lack of social and emotional skills and more of a dependency to be on their devices, whatever that device may be. But I think the good news is that seeing those things have really opened the doors to have more meaningful conversations about mental health supports and the importance of teaching social and emotional skills right alongside the academic skills.
I agree with everything Ashley said. And as a teacher, I felt like one of the things that was really challenging was I almost felt like I was competing against technology for attention. You know, technology has fun videos and graphics and sounds and all these bells and whistles. And even though I was performing my heart out for their attention, it's almost not engaging enough. And so I feel like students are a little more disconnected from their learning with the increase in technology in the classroom. And so that has been a challenge personally.
Well, and I understand that, like the competing against technology, even competing against like what is competing against these things, but also how do you make the learning engaging? How do you structure your classroom so it's engaging so that they, you know, because sometimes classroom management comes down to the pacing of your lesson, the types of activities that you're asking students to do, finding the just right level, not too hard, not too easy, finding that place. And so, but Ashley, you said something about the emotional dysregulation of students. Can you talk a little bit more about that obstacle? Because I think that there's a lot of people that can relate to that.
I think students are just struggling a bit with their lack of social and emotional skills. And I think there could be arguments made in a lot of ways and a lot of reasons as to why they're coming potentially less prepared than years past, one of them being technology and their use of technology or potentially less socialization, but they're coming with less social skills than they have in the past. And things that we had typically seen them come in with before, like how to introduce themselves and how to interact or potentially problem solve or ask for help. And also just managing those emotions on a fairly basic level in terms of managing their frustration or when they're upset. And so we are spending, you know, more time supporting those needs, even within the classroom, on a pretty regular basis.
That makes a lot of sense. Emily, have you seen that as a teacher, just that lack of ability to even ask for help or know what to do when they get frustrated?
I've seen that as a teacher and as a parent, actually. So, you know, on both sides, that self-advocating is a huge skill that is definitely different than in years past. And in some ways they will, but it's not always where you would expect it to be. I know I had to reach out to my own child's teacher to ask for help in having her join in social situations when she started school in first grade. And I never thought that I would need to with her. So it's, you know, it's not like there's some kids or not, many of them are struggling in this situation, no matter the level of support.
Yeah. Do you find that those conversations that you have with teachers when you have this kind of situation, is it kind of an aha moment of if a teacher's struggling and they're like, actually, I see it as this thing that these skills that students have, like, do teachers feel like, oh, they don't have those skills? Like, has there been kind of an aha moment for some teachers?
I think so. I mean, I think they recognize the skills are lacking. And then it's also a piece where in the past, teachers weren't necessarily used to thinking of teaching skills in this area and what that looks like. So I've seen a lot of teachers who are doing amazing jobs teaching the skills for these different things, but it's a new mindset and it's a new way of thinking, you know, for them as well. When I've reached out to my children's teachers, they're just like, oh, sure, I'll help them join in. And they oftentimes just scoot them in instead of teaching the skill. So, you know, I said that's a piece too where that's great, but then a follow-up to that isn't still necessary because they got in with that group of friends, but there'll be new groups, new situations, and the skill was not necessarily taught.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
I think that we're pretty lucky in District 59 that there has been such an emphasis on and an importance on social emotional learning. And we have dedicated time for our students to practice and learn new skills, which we're grateful for.
Yeah. You know, and it's so funny because it's like when I approached this conversation, I sort of thought about, you know, classroom management. It's about like procedures and protocols and your structure of your classroom. But like thinking about how much of it is about teaching the skills of being in a classroom with other students and how to manage your emotions, how to deal with conflict, how much of that is related, I think is kind of an interesting like takeaway I'm already getting from this conversation. So, okay. So speaking of like helping teachers kind of understand this, if you could give teachers just one or two game-changing strategies or just insights to take back to their classrooms, what would they be?
I think for me, it's hard to choose just one or two. I think the teaching piece is really important, but I think what's paired with that, I think a lot of mine are going to be paired together, like it needs to be wrapped in a bow. But the consistency in terms of teaching, the reviewing, all of that. But I also think there needs to be a focus on relationships. And that goes with consistency as well, you know, showing up for your kids and the authenticity and being real. It's hard to just choose one or two because from my perspective, it's like a packaged deal.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's super important to validate and connect with the children, especially before you're going to have those hard conversations or those ones that they might not feel comfortable having, and taking the time to understand their feelings and ask questions to really learn what's going on with them before you decide what to do next. And I think like as a classroom teacher, over the years, the way management changed for myself, at least at the beginning, it was more like focusing on those negative behaviors. I mean, I was like, oh, this is not okay. So we're going to address it and we're going to talk about that versus now moving more towards, I realized focusing on the positive is much more beneficial. The more I call out the behaviors that are positive ones in the classroom and helpful and desirable, the more students are proud of that and the more others hear it and spend time living in the world of the positive versus all the time talking about the negative. So I was actually doing myself in. So
yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Cause I think like you have this misunderstanding as a newer teacher that you have to tell them like, here's all the things not to do. And so, but in some, sometimes in that it's like, you're so focused on watching for the negative behavior, the things that are obstacles to learning that you really forget to address like even the students that are exuding those positive behaviors and focusing on the skills that maybe those students have developed and like, how do you develop that? If a student doesn't know how to, you know, ask a question in the right way, they will continue to ask the question the wrong way. So it's like, if you continue to address the kid that calls out in class, but not say, hey, here's how to get my attention. Mm-hmm. Here's the correct way. Sometimes like you can just, it's kind of a vicious cycle.
But I think that's where the mindset shift happens, right? So when I think of classroom management, it absolutely needs to happen, but it's often quick fixes. Like I need to put this fire out right now, but the ultimate goal should really be behavior change, right? And that takes much longer. And so how are we working towards behavior change? And both need to happen, right? There are times that we absolutely need to manage the situation and we need the quick fix and I need you to stop doing X, Y, or Z. But how do I then follow up with that conversation or that situation to really move along the continuum to get to that behavior change?
Yeah.
Because that's where we're really going to see the impact. And I think I was grateful, lucky, I don't know what the word would be, very early on in my career, I thought that I had it all figured out, right? My students were wonderful when they were in my classroom. And I had an injury that prevented me from going back to work. And my students fell apart while I was not there. And I learned very quickly that I was really good at managing my students' behavior, but I was doing nothing to change their behavior. And so I did a lot of reflecting when I came back in terms of how do I support my students' long-term growth, knowing that behavior is not a quick fix. It's not a quick change. I mean, if we think about our own behavior and how long it takes us to change our own behavior, but how do I manage in the moment so we can be productive in the classroom and do the things that we need to do? But how do I also work towards changing their behavior so they can be successful past this moment in time as well?
That's a really important reflection, I think, for many teachers and many educators. Because I could say that it's just, even in, you think school-wide, if a leader comes in and kind of has that expectation of every classroom management in a certain way, but really like having the support. Because sometimes I do think that really is important for teachers. They want to see the behavior change, but they don't have that support outside of the classroom to help make that behavior change. It's just more of like you're expected to make sure that your students are doing the right all the time. But if you don't have the support of an administrator or leader to help you in that process, of help you, give you that time to meet with the student and help them learn that skill, you know, I think that's really important. So, I mean, in kind of in lieu of that, you know, school leaders play such an impactful role. What would you say is really important for leaders to hear? Because there's a lot of leaders that listen to this podcast. What's important for them to hear in setting their teachers up for success with classroom management?
I think it's really important, just as teachers drive the climate of their individual classroom, building leaders set the tone for the building. And so it's important to set, you know, clear school-wide expectations. It's important to invest in tier one proactive supports. It's important to prioritize relationships, not just with students, but with staff. It's important to make time for restorative conversations, both with staff and students. I don't know, Emily, what else do you think?
I agree. And from my experience, something that was huge was having leaders who did support me. My admin throughout the years have been amazing with giving me constructive feedback, sharing things that they see going well, but also like allowing me to take the risk of trying something that might not go well and having their support in doing that. And knowing that even though this might or go unexpected, that they still have faith in me, believe in me, and are there to lift me up and get me back on track with another plan. We've had a lot of conversations around that. I was so lucky early on to be supported by the SEL team in our district. So classroom management was an area I felt extremely safe with, and I felt that I thrived because I had Ashley, I had Katie Ossel, and I had all my principals on board with me being like, go ahead, try that out and see how it goes. So, well, you know, it's huge.
Yeah, there's so much of classroom management sometimes is a trial and error, like, because you know, as you're learning the students, as you're building relationships with them, I mean, I can remember there's some students I'm like, okay, I'm going to try this strategy because this kid is out of his seat all the time. So we're going to try this thing. And sort of it's like not giving up to try different ways rather than sort of having that punishment mindset, but having that, okay, what's a good way to teach him the skill or teach the student the skill and really kind of continuing to have the growth mindset that they can learn this. We just have to find the right method. And so I think that it's good when you have that support of leaders to sort of give you that space to figure out what works for this student. I mean, just as we would say in MTSS, sometimes the intervention, you have to try something. And if it doesn't work, then, you know, have to go back. Okay, maybe we need to try something else if they're not growing and they're not changing. I think that's a really great sort of example of that, how MTSS can relate to classroom management.
And I think I have to plug the amazing opportunity District 59 has given us to have SEL instructional coaches for this, because I worked with the SEL coaches before becoming one. And I think, you know, you feel more willing to take risks when there's somebody with you, a partner in your classroom doing it with you. That's an amazing opportunity that I know a lot of districts don't have. So, I mean, coaching has been another blessing.
Sometimes a coach having somebody in the classroom to give you that perspective that maybe you don't see in the midst of, you know, if you have a kind of difficult group of students, or if there's something that you, you know, hey, have you tried this? I notice you do this. Sometimes it's so nice to have that person. Yeah. So I kind of the last question I wanted to really ask is that, how do you find what role does professional development play in this? We talked a little bit about coaching, but what have you seen as far as in professional development with your teachers, in your district, as far as helping with some of this classroom management struggles or challenges?
Yeah, I think that it has really played a pretty big role in improving classroom management. I think this journey started 8 or 9 years ago. And really started out pretty slow. We created a classroom management plan that focused on 5 different areas that teachers really had to dive into, that was created with students in mind collaboratively. There are lessons that go along with it, and just in partnership with students, but could still be tailored to the needs of the individual classrooms, and kind of let it just grow naturally, so to speak. There, we have summer PD that's done every summer where teachers can come in and kind of create the bare bones, the kind of non-negotiables that we call it. You know, they kind of go in and have an idea in mind, but then co-create it with the class when they come. But we've also done, you know, professional development on de-escalation and restorative practices and trauma-informed practices and youth mental health first aid and CLR and how to document behavior. And so I think it's just kind of all layered very nicely in ways that will help support our staff as they go through this process, because we know that behavior is not microwavable. It's not a quick fix. And we know that the needs of kiddos change from year to year, sometimes even minute to minute, right?
Yeah. And I agree. I mean, obviously my teaching program was a very long time ago, but there were no courses or classes to help prepare me for that. It was just, you know, you had your student teaching experience and you hoped it was a good one. And you hoped you saw things that you could take back to the classroom. So when the SEL professional development started, as Ashley mentioned, about 8 or 9 years ago, I was signing up for everyone. And I mean, I'd already been teaching for 10 years. So it was still like I felt it like I was in a good place, but I was also realizing I have so much more to learn. So I feel like they were the ones I gravitated towards. And I think a lot of teachers did, to be honest. It was like you'd look at that list and you were like, well, I've gotten a lot of professional development in reading or in math or other areas, but SEL, like this is important. So I've loved that opportunity. And now being a part of it on the SEL team, it's like this amazing full circle to see like what we bring out, what we're supporting with. But also, as I said, just going in classrooms and partnering with teachers is another opportunity to do it as well.
Yeah. I really just am enjoying this thinking through how much that training around SEL, trauma-informed care, how that all it relates to classroom management. Because I kind of have the same journey where I didn't learn all these things. I maybe had the book, The First Days of School, you know, learned how to write the procedures for my classroom, but really understanding how much when I have a better understanding of my students and have better relationships with them, how much that impacts my classroom management. And also I think trauma-informed care really helped this. If a student comes in and their emotional thermometer is really high, learning how to understand that and know that that's not the time to really get on them about something, you know? And so I just think like that kind of training is so essential to helping create safe learning environments. And because really that's what it is about. Like I said in the beginning, classroom management is really about that safe and productive and purposeful learning environment that you guys both highlighted. You know, there's so much more that I would love to like dig into. I know you guys had shared some different, like more specific things. I think, you know, when you talk about coaching and the importance of modeling and being there, I think those are really key things. But I would really love to just kind of end the note on, you know, thinking about the horizon of classroom management. Are there any tools or trends or shifts you're so excited about and how we approach classroom management in the future?
So I think that education is continuously evolving. And I think that the one size fits all approaches are being challenged a little bit. And, you know, what used to work even 10 years ago is not necessarily working the same anymore. And so I think there's a bigger push just to be more responsive. And teachers are learning to, you know, recognize differences both like in communication and behavior norms and ways of expressing themselves, and understanding that, you know, traditional and punitive practices aren't the answer anymore, that those things don't necessarily work in the way that they once did. And it's more effective to be balanced with more restorative approaches. And that, you know, that social emotional learning isn't just a standalone lesson anymore, and embedding it in ways like throughout the entire day. And I think that there's a push to really understand that behavior is a form of communication, and really trying to come from the mindset of asking yourself, like, what is this behavior trying to tell me? As opposed to like, what consequence or what punishment does this child need as a result of it? So I think that there, at least I'm hopeful that there will be a push for that.
I agree. I think, you know, one thing I've never enjoyed as a teacher is the discipline, right? Like, that's not what you go into teaching for. So like, seeing this shift from the mindset of classroom management is doing something to the child to classroom management is something we're building with the child, and doing that through building relationships. Every little human in that classroom is amazing. So building the relationships with them is a gift, and showing them who I am and them seeing me not just as like that traditional old teacher that used to be in TV shows and movies, that like, we're human beings, you know, and we're just like you, is such a fun part of the job. But it also has been such a big difference in seeing why children are making the decisions they're doing. They're doing it for that bond, that relationship, and for themselves, you know?
Yeah.
I want my children to be independent girls. I don't want them to be afraid of authority. So I like that idea of it's something we're doing together.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that the future of classroom management is less about fixing kids and more about building the environments and where they can be successful.
You know what, Ashley? I'm going to end on that, because that is a great note. And I love being able to chat with you guys. It's a delight when I get to talk to people who are in the field and doing the work. And I know that I'm sure that your school district is so grateful for the hard work that you guys do. And so thank you so much for being here. And hopefully we can provide some resources to our listeners. And so if there's anything you want to share, we can link that in the show notes. But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn @branchingminds.